What if your husband had an important job to do? What if he didn't do everything he needed in order to accomplish his task? What would you do? What if his life was in danger? What if his choices affected an entire nation of people? What if his fate was placed in your hands? Would you do what it takes? Would you take your stand?
Two friends met each other at a restaurant. They were going to meet for lunch. And as the one friend was sitting there waiting for the other friend, she watched in the door, and her friend came in, and she was harried, she was frustrated, she was agitated, and she came in because, you know, she had been late because of traffic and all these different things, and she sat down. As she sat down, the waitress came over, and the waitress accidentally, as she was putting the cup of water down, accidentally spilled some of the water in the lap of the harried friend that had just shown up, and she blew up. I mean, she went absolutely bonkers crazy, hollering at her and telling her that she's stupid and what is she thinking and all these different things. And any of you, I was a waiter all through college, put myself through college as a waiter. Those of you that have been waiters or waitresses, you know, right? You know this person. You're like, anyone want table 7? Because you don't want to mess with them because they have issues. And so this woman is just going off on her, and the waitress finally leaves, and that friend looks at her friend that's been sitting there, and she says, well, I'm so sorry that I reacted that way, but you just would not understand the day that I've had, and she just pushed me over the edge. Her other friend quietly said, let me ask you a question. If you're walking around carrying buckets that are full of water and somebody bumps into you, what spills? And she says, well, water, of course. And she said, and if you're walking around carrying buckets of acid and somebody bumps into you, what spills? Well, acid, of course. And she said, yes, that's the point. What happens when you get bumped into and when life throws you difficult things, you just spill out of you what's already on the inside. Because that, we don't like that, do we? Everyone's like, oh, I don't like that. I like being able to get mad and angry and pitch in a hissy fit. I don't know if we use that phrase anymore, but pitching a fit, you know, because we like to be able to just let that stuff out when bad things happen. And then we excuse it because we say, well, circumstances, right? I had a difficult day. I had a hard day. I had this thing happen. I had this thing happen. This person did this to me. My boss said this. My husband said this. My wife said this. My kids. I don't have to tell you anything. I just say my kids, and that should be enough. Because, I mean, we use circumstances as an excuse to talk about how we're behaving and excuse it. But here's the problem with that. Circumstances don't dictate our character. Circumstances just reveal our character. And so what I want to do is give you a big idea, just kind of give you one thing that you can hang your hat on. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. And if you miss everything else I'm talking about today, hopefully this will stick with you, and that is this. Extraordinary circumstances reveal exceptional character. Extraordinary circumstances reveal exceptional character. You see, we want to walk around and blame our circumstances and tell people that the reason that we're acting the way that we're acting is because of the circumstances, because of the situation, because of the difficulties, because of the hardships, because of the relationships. We want to tell people that the reason that we are behaving the way that we're behaving is because of those exterior motivations that are going on around us. But the reality is that those exterior situations and circumstances and pressures and stresses, all they do is reveal what's actually already on the inside. And so my challenge to you today, as we look at the life of this woman named Zipporah, that few people, even if they've read the Bible, really even recognize who she is or what her name is. This underrated, behind-the-scenes character that if she had not done what she did, Moses would have never become the leader that he was. This woman reveals through three different extraordinary circumstances that she had unbelievably exceptional character. And my prayer for you today is that as we look through this, you will stop blaming your circumstances and start working on your character. Because our character is revealed through extraordinary circumstances. So let's begin. We're going to start with the very, very first thing, the very first part of our character. It's really three parts. There's acceptance, decisiveness, and also vulnerability. Those three character traits that this woman named Zipporah had. And so what I want to do is, as we begin this morning, I want to begin with this idea of acceptance. And I want to tell you, really give you the background of that. Moses was in Egypt. He was a Hebrew person. He was under slavery just like everyone else. But yet as he was born, his mom wanted to protect him. And so she put him in a basket and she sent him down the river. And the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, found him. And so she raised him as her very own. And he grew up in the not castle, but palace. And so he watched all these things that happened, and eventually the Bible says that he really saw himself as associated with his Jewish family, not with the Egyptian throne. And so one day he was watching, and an Egyptian slave owner, an Egyptian master, was beating a Hebrew. And so he looked around. The Bible says he looks to the right, he looks to the left, and no one was around. So he went over and he killed the Egyptian master. And it was found out that he did this, and so he had to flee Egypt for his life. He thought that he was going to be put in prison and then killed because of what he did. And the Bible says that he flees to a different part of the world called Midian. And in Midian, he finds a well, and he gets to the well, and he's like, oh, I'm parched. He's just gone through this entire journey. And he begins to try to get water from the well. But as he gets to the well, there's a group of shepherds, and they're all women, and they've got sheep, and they're trying to get well from the water. And these other people come, and they start bullying them, and they start keeping them from the thing. And so Moses steps up and protects them. And so this begins the conversation. This begins the relationship between Moses and Zipporah, because one of those women was Zipporah. And what we see happening is really interesting. And so what I want to do is I want to give you the first character trait, and then I'll share with you the story. Her, or Zipporah's acceptance of an outsider, you can even put outcast there. Zipporah's acceptance of an outsider gave Moses a safe place to become God's man. Exodus chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. We'll pick up right there. The shepherdesses were there. The sisters were there watching their sheep. Moses saves them. They go home. They leave Moses there. They go home and they tell their dad. Exodus chapter 2, verse 19. They answered their dad, because their dad said, why are you home so quickly? What's going on? She goes, well, a guy was there, and this is what happened. He says, they answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock. In other words, listen, we met this guy, and he's an Egyptian. And by the way, it's really interesting that they call him an Egyptian, because in that day, even more so than our day today, cultures and divisions and tribes and ethnicities and all that stuff, it was very important to keep your family together. You didn't marry outside your family. I mean, we joke about it now if you marry your second cousin or something like that. I mean, that was normal. That was just part of the deal, you know? And so this was all that was going on. So she really was talking about, or they were talking about, this guy from this foreign country came, and he actually saved us. This is so weird. Now watch, the dad, who, by the way, the Bible tells us was a priest and a follower of God, he says this, and where is he now? There's like, okay, ladies, this guy comes, and he saves you, he rescues you, he waters the flock, and you leave him there? Have you thought about, you know, the possibility that he's a good guy? Is he good looking? Is he strong? You know, he's just thinking about trying to marry his daughters off. So, he says, and where is he? He asked his daughters, why did you leave him there? Invite him to have something to eat. Verse 21, Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. And Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. You see, it's really easy for us in our character to develop inflexibility, isn't it? It's really easy for us to get stuck in our ways. And I'm not going to ask, okay, who of you are inflexible? Because you know who you are. Because right now, the fact that I'm talking about the fact that you need to be flexible, you're getting agitated. Because you don't like that. You like your structure, you like your plans, you like all those things, but here's the problem with that. Here's the problem if we don't apply this character trait that Zipporah had to be able to put it in our lives, is that we may miss out on some unbelievable opportunities because we are not willing to accept something beyond our particular ability to reason it out. If Zipporah had kind of stuck with the traditional line of thinking, she would have wanted nothing to do with Moses. She would not have wanted to marry him. Her father would not have accepted him into his home. And there would never be this relationship whereby Gershom is born, which is their son. And we find out later that Gershom was a man of God as well, a Levite who worked in the temple and worked with all the other priests and helped them do those things. But even bigger than that, if she had not been willing to be accepting of someone who was an outcast, someone who was an outsider, Moses would have never been able to spend 40 years on the backside of the desert being groomed by God to be the man he was supposed to be. He would have gone to another place to search for another location, to find another place where he could become who God had called him to be. There's truth to the statement, behind every great man is a great... It's just true. And so we see this here, that her character trait of acceptance, of willing to embrace something that was very different from what she would be normally willing to accept, that allowed Moses to become the man that he became. Now the second thing, and this is, I'm gonna be blunt with you right now. If you get squeamish, you may get squeamish right now as we talk about this. This is one of the weirdest, most awkward, strange passages of scripture that we're ever going to read. And if you go, I don't know what he's talking about, don't read ahead, wait till I read it. It'll just be better that way, okay? So the second thing that we see about her, the second character trait about Zipporah is this, is that her decisiveness in a difficult situation preserved Moses' life and ministry. Her decisiveness in a difficult situation preserved Moses' life and ministry. Now, I want to just be very, very clear here really quickly. Zipporah, although she was very accepting of what was going on, she also was not a wilting flower. She wasn't just like, hey, whatever happens, happens. She looked at situations, and when it was necessary for her to act, she was willing and ready to act. Now, everyone take a deep breath. You ready? Take a deep breath, go, here we go. Moses gets the call from God. He packs up Zipporah and his two kids. They begin to travel back towards Egypt, and they stop at a place, Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 through 26. Now, it came about at a lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. And that time she said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Boy, that makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? You're like, yeah, you know, you think it's awkward to read about it. Can you imagine what it was like being the son? I'm just saying. Just think about that for a second. Mom, what are you doing? I mean, just process through that for just a second. Like, what is going on here? To be able to understand this, we've got to know what happened before this, all the way back in Genesis chapter 17. When a man named Abram was called by God, and God said to Abram, if you will follow me, I will be your God. And your children will be descendants like the sand of the sea, like the stars of the sky. Kings and kingdoms, nations and nationalities will come from you if you honor me. And in that time, he said, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham as a sign of the covenant that I have made with you. But I'm also going to make another sign of this covenant. And the sign of this covenant is circumcision. Now, I got to tell you, if I'm Abraham, and I know history, and I know the last time that God made a covenant with people was when God made a covenant with Noah, and the sign of the covenant was a rainbow, And now God wants to make a covenant with me, and the sign of the covenant is circumcision? I'm going, hey, you know, I just joined a club. We have a secret handshake. Can we try that? You know, can we? This is a little awkward here. But the reality is that the reason that God chose circumcision is because it's messy and it's bloody and it's permanent, and it is a sign that points to what Jesus Christ would someday do for each and every one of us. That he would die on a cross in a bloody, gory fashion. But yet when it was done, he said three of the most powerful words that have ever been spoken: it is finished. And because of that, God said, listen, a little bit later in Genesis chapter 17, he said this, listen, anyone that is a part of my household, my family, Abraham, your children, any man that refuses to be circumcised is breaking my covenant and is essentially saying, I want nothing to do with God. So here we have Moses. Moses was just called by God to be the leader of his people, the leader of the nation of Israel, yet he had not followed through on God's command to circumcise his two boys. And so after God gives him this direct command to go and to be the leader of his people, Moses didn't take care of the small things that mattered so much. And so as God meets Moses in this inn, this hotel, this lodging place, he literally, the Bible says, he comes and is face to face with Moses, and he said, listen, you're not going to follow through on my command. Your leadership will be very short-lived. I'm done. I'm not going to mess with this. So I don't know how you go, how did Zipporah know? I have no idea. But the Bible says that Zipporah saw what was happening and became incredibly decisive, took a flint knife and circumcised her boy or boys and laid them at the feet of Moses and said, you are a bridegroom of blood to me, boy. I tell you what, why didn't you do this? Sometimes, ladies and men, the leaders over you don't do what is necessary. And sometimes it's necessary for you to be willing to step up because of the problems, because of the difficulty, because of the pain that it might cause. Now, I know some of you may be looking at it and going, see, that's what I'm talking about. If men would be men, time out. This was a life or death situation. And we will see here in just a moment, this was not the pattern of her life. It was because of an extraordinary circumstance that she was willing to be decisive because it meant the life and the ministry of her husband. And so she stepped in. Now, the third area or character trait that we see here is this: her vulnerability in the face of criticism left room for God to defend. Her vulnerability in the face of criticism left room for God to defend. And I want you to see this because I think this is so important. We see this first character trait of acceptance. And it came to the surface because it was needed to come to the surface, right? There was a need for her to step in and accept this outsider, this outcast. And because she expressed this character trait, God used that place and used her and used that location to be able to help Moses become the man he was supposed to be. We fast forward some 40 years later, and we see that Moses has not followed through on some details that were very, very important. And so instead of just an acceptance of, oh, well, whatever happens, she knew that at that point in time, the extraordinary circumstance that she needed to be able to work against was the fact that her husband's life and ministry hung in the balance. So she acted decisively to make a decision to be able to make sure that her husband's life and ministry could continue. But then we fast forward even further into her life, and we see that her vulnerability, her silence, her unwillingness to react is another character trait that we see of her. You see, something that's very interesting, and if you are in leadership, or your husband is in leadership, or your spouse, your wife is in leadership, you know that you are in a very vulnerable position. You're in a very vulnerable position. I grew up in a pastor's home. I saw it all the time. I've been a pastor for some 20-plus years. I see it all the time. And people who have a mean spirit about them tend to attempt to attack the leader through soft spots such as spouses and children. And you know, we're going to see here in just a minute that that is something that God doesn't tolerate. Look at this, Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, and then we're going to skip to verses 9 and 10. The children of Israel had left Egypt. They are now traveling. Moses has led them. Moses had solidified himself as the leader of the nation of Israel. And his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam are jealous. You ever known anybody that gets jealous? Not us, though, right? But other people. We've got a friend. We've got a friend who gets jealous. But I want you to see, Aaron and Miriam get jealous of Moses. And I want you to see their method of attack. While they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. You see, we'll just pause for a second. We'll come back to that. Moses had married a woman that wasn't a Hebrew. Remember what we talked about? The fact that in that day and age, and especially for the nation of Israel, if you married outside the nation of Israel, if you married someone that wasn't a Hebrew, I mean, that was looked down upon. You didn't do that. You married someone that was a second cousin or a, you know, a nephew or a niece or something, you know, something like that. That was just the way that it was. And they saw Moses and they saw his leadership and they saw how God was using him and they got jealous. And so they said, where can we attack Moses? In fact, a couple of verses after this, it says Moses was the most humble man on the face of the planet. They said, where can we attack him? Where can we get him? So they go after his wife. Now, at that point in time, it could be really easy for her to get snarky, right? Brassy and sassy. Mouthy. Let them know, you know, let them know the what for and tell them how they should this and that type of thing. But you know what we don't see? We don't see a single word from Zipporah. And in fact, we don't see a single word from Moses. Neither one of them say a thing. But God does. The Lord was very angry with them, verse 9. The Lord was very angry with them and he departed. And as the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. You see, the part of the story that we kind of jumped over to get to the end was that God called Moses and Miriam and Aaron to stand before him at the tabernacle. And he stood before Moses and Aaron, Miriam and Aaron, and he said, listen, guys, who have I talked to face? Who have I chosen to be my leader? Who have I said is the one that's going to be doing that? It's Moses. Who are you to speak against Moses and to speak against his family? This is not okay. And then the Bible says that he simply departed or left. And left standing there was Miriam with an incurable disease that would kill her and create her as an outcast. So essentially what God said was, listen, you have said that Moses' wife should be treated as an outcast. That is exactly what will happen to you. Now, here's what's amazing, guys. Here's what is so unbelievable. Moses and Zipporah could have easily gone, yeah, that's right, God. Yeah. I mean, man, they could have been so excited and done a victory lap and been like, yeah, mess with us. That's what you get. You know what Moses does? He immediately cries out to God. He says, God, please forgive her. God says, well, I will, but you know what? She's got to be outside the camp for 7 days. It's almost like God's saying, she's got to think about what she did. Because I won't have it. I won't tolerate it. And because of her willingness to be vulnerable, which, man, that's scary, is it not? Isn't it scary to be vulnerable at times? But because of her willingness to be vulnerable, God stepped in and defended her and her husband. Extraordinary circumstances reveal exceptional character. It's very easy for us to point the finger at circumstance, to point the finger at problems, and say, well, because of this, and because of this, and because of this, and because of this, and we want to blame our circumstances for the way that we are. But the truth of the matter is, our circumstances don't create our responses or our character. It simply reveals what's already there. So my challenge to you, as we move on from this, and you hear and you listen, and I encourage you to read into the life of Zipporah. Go back and read some of these things. I mean, she's an amazing woman that is hardly ever talked about. But her character was so solid that God used her at three different times to help Moses become the man that God called him to be. So my challenge would be, stop blaming your circumstances and start working on your character. Because if you've got your character right, the circumstances don't matter. Is it difficult? Yeah, I don't think. Anyone go, yeah, I love it when things are tough. Anyone like, yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you're all semi-sane that you don't like. We don't like things are tough. We don't like things are difficult. But here's the thing. When we work on our character instead of complaining about our circumstances, we actually can work through our circumstances that much better. And God can take any difficult circumstance and turn it into something that is encouraging and positive and life-altering for the people that you love. Father God, we thank you so much for this woman who was willing to have character, who didn't take the easy path and blame circumstance, but instead was intentional about building her character over her lifetime. And God, you used that. And even though those circumstances of her life were extraordinary, I mean, they were beyond anything that we can even begin to process through that she struggled with, but yet, God, you showed yourself strong through her because she was willing to have the right kind of character. And because of her, you were able to continue to use Moses in an unbelievable way. God, let us be humble. Let us work on our character instead of whining about our circumstances. Oftentimes, circumstances, we can't change them, but we can change how we react to them. God, I know there's people going through some really difficult circumstances right now, and they're feeling overwhelmed. God, there are things in my life that I just feel overwhelmed on. I'm not sure what the next step is going to be. God, we all are there at times in our lives. I pray that you would remind us of two things, that you are still God no matter the circumstance that we find ourselves in, and that if we are willing to display the type of godly character that you've called us to display, you will never waste a moment of those experiences, you'll never waste a moment of those circumstances, and those things will only serve to help make us become the men and the women that you've called us to be. We thank you for this, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.